T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is a manic, I would say it's kind of a dreary Monday. I mean, I don't let this weather bother me, but a lot of people are bothered by this weather. Hey, but Monday Night Football tonight, so that's what we're going to focus on this afternoon. I'm Scoot, glad you're with us. I hope you had a great weekend. I found myself watching college and NFL games that I really would have maybe had no interest in. For example, I remember sitting down watching Saturday afternoon, I'm watching UCF and Georgia Tech. Like, I'm an alumni from the schools, like one of the schools. I mean, I'm watching it like I'm going, oh, my God, this is just, like, great. And it's because football is back. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Monday Night Football in Vegas. I wonder what it's like covering a game in a place like Vegas. We'll talk to Deuce McAllister coming up here in just a few minutes. Also, big news from Orleans Parish. High school football can resume. Orleans Parish is going to be opening up playgrounds, and capacity in outdoor stadiums will be limited to 25% or 250 people, whichever is smaller. And for indoor stadiums and arenas, 25% or 100 people, whichever is smaller. And so high school sports will resume. And there's all kinds of protocols that I hope everybody really pays attention, the players and the coaches and those of you who actually go to the games. But that really is very, very good news. Also, we're still dealing with this tropical storm or tropical weather, whatever it is right now, a beta. And this weather that we have right now is a result of that. And we're going to feel this for the next couple of days, and there are going to be parts of Louisiana and Texas that are going to feel a lot more than we're going to feel in this area. Also, very important this afternoon at 2:30, a meeting of the Jefferson Parish Council. They're going to meet to vote on whether or not to open up the bars. And so that will be a big vote. Our show is abbreviated today because our pregame coverage here on WWL, AMFM, and radio.com begins at 3 o'clock this afternoon with First Take. That's with Steve Quirt and Steve Giller. Then at 5 o'clock, it's the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick. And then it's game time, 7:15, with the home team, the legendary Saints, Deuce McAllister and Zach Streif in the booth. And then after the game, it's the Point After with Bobby and Christian. So don't miss the Cajun Cannons post-game rants. You know, it's so much fun to listen to Bobby after they win. But, man, after they lose, Bobby can go into some rants. So you might want to check that out. It is brought to you by Miller Lite. And so it all begins today, 3 o'clock this afternoon here on WWL, AMFM, and radio.com. So there's a lot to talk about. The passing of notorious RGB, the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and the battle to replace her. And I think we're not going to talk about this today. We'll get into this more tomorrow and Wednesday. But on one of those days, we're going to play the drinking game here on the show. And so every time I say the word hypocrisy, you take a shot. So it's going to be a fun game to play. Now, look, it may be a cloudy, rainy Monday, but it's game day for the Saints. Tonight, Monday Night Football, Saints in Las Vegas against the Raiders. And it's the dawn of the NFL in Vegas. The Raiders recently moved to Oakland, much more lucrative market, Las Vegas. And the Saints and the Raiders will christen the new Allegiant Stadium tonight. And I'm wondering if stadiums have that new stadium smell. You're like, oh, God, this smells like a new stadium. I'm sure it won't be long before the two locker rooms don't smell new anymore. But that should be exciting. So a common description of today for a lot of people would be dreary. Now, again, I don't let this weather get to me. I lived in Seattle and Portland, and I don't let this weather bother me. But all of this is still the effects of Tropical Storm Beta. But even on a dreary Monday like this, aren't things brightened up by the fact that the Saints are playing Monday Night Football? You know, the return of football has been such a welcome sign of life that is going to probably exist after the pandemic. Last weekend and again this weekend, I was excited to watch games that really I basically had no interest in. But it was like real football. And even though there were limited fans in the stands or no fans in the stands, I loved it. And if you're a Saints fan, you've got to love the fact that the Falcons blew a 20-point lead in the game against the Cowboys in Dallas. I mean, I'm sitting there watching this. I hate the Falcons. I hate the Cowboys. But I'm thinking, come on. You Cowgirls can't do us a favor and beat the Falcons at home? I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to be beaten by the Falcons at home. Anyway, they did come back and win, so that was nice. And if I were on talk radio in Atlanta, I think I'd know what we would be talking about today. But, you know, even with no fans in the stands, I still find it exciting. And, you know, if you think about it, if somebody last year would have told you that Tom Brady would be in a Tampa Bay Bucs uniform, Cam Newton would be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, the Saints would open their season with no fans in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, and by September 21st, LSU had not won a football game yet, you would have told somebody that these predictions were crazy. But the best explanation is, hey, it's the year 2020. So the pandemic has so disrupted our lives, and these storms and the constant threat of these storms for the entire Gulf region has been additional stress, that I just love the fact that we have football back. And all of the criticism of the NFL's plan to promote social equality seemed overblown compared to the role the new imaging has played during actual games. The words "end racism" and "it takes all of us," they did not replace the names of the teams in the end zone. They appear much smaller. They're an addition outside of the end zone. And the various words and phrases printed on the narrow white cushion at the bottom of some players' helmets is really not very intrusive at all. In fact, it takes an effort to actually notice those things like Black Lives Matter. The prediction that the NFL games would be marred by this politically inspired campaign by the NFL seems to have been greatly exaggerated. And if you want to boycott the games, this is America, that's your choice. But I don't see how any of this has really been an interruption in the games, and I love having the games back. Also, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Mortgage Financial Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Also, you can send me an email. I've got my email page opened up right here on my computer, on my desk, in my studio, at my apartment in downtown New Orleans. And the email address is scoot@wwl.com. Since the Saints are playing in Vegas tonight, I thought we would use for bumper music some of the songs that have been from a couple of popular movies that have been set in Vegas. This is, of course, from Vegas Vacation. This was a real big, huge disco hit, but this was when they were arriving in the limousine, and Audrey got her midriff caught in the sunroof of the limousine in Vegas. Anyway, so we'll feature some fun music, some Saints music, and some music from Vegas movies. What is it like to be covering a game in Vegas? We'll talk to Deuce McAllister about that when we come back. I'm Scoot on WWL. Well, here's another song from Vegas Vacation. Remember when Mr. Papa Giorgio was walking down the street? Some of our bumper music today is coming from a couple of popular Vegas movies, Vegas Vacation and the movie Swingers. So what is it like to cover a game in Las Vegas? Our play-by-play team announcer, color analyst, and former Saints running back, the legendary Deuce McAllister, joins us on WWL. Hey, Deuce, welcome to the show this afternoon.
I appreciate it. How you doing?
I'm good. Of all the cities that you cover teams in, this is a great new addition for your travels, right?
Definitely a great new addition. I mean, it's just the year of 2020, though, that makes it unique and different. That you can't do a lot. You and that's not only from a coverage standpoint, but from a traveling standpoint, as far as fans are concerned. Now, look, trust me, there's still a good amount of Saints fans that are here, but it would be a ton more if everything was opened up and fans could actually go to the game as well.
Right. You know, I do know that professional athletes, not all of them, but many of them love to gamble. Do you think this is a temptation for the players who are visiting there? I mean, I know there's some strict rules, so do you think players get to get out and hit the casinos?
They can't. I mean, they can't. Even if the virus was going on, they can't do it. The NFL has done a pretty good job, and I don't know the ins and outs of it as far as working with the casinos and making sure that's something that does not happen. As far as gambling and making sure that they do educate the players. And as far as gambling is concerned, making sure that they are there trying to help in that situation. But even for the team, as far as Oakland, who is based here, my understanding is they're outside. The players live about 45 minutes outside of downtown Las Vegas. I mean, obviously you can still go and get to the strip and enjoy the city, but from my understanding, everything is a little bit outside, and you know, they try to make it a little harder for them. But I know there's a partnership between the NFLPA Players Association as well as the NFL and the casinos to try to limit that interaction, and that's not only from a player standpoint but from a team personnel standpoint as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we have temptations living in New Orleans, and I think it was Alvin Kamara was asked about, you know, what's it going to be like to go play in Vegas? He goes, hey, come on, man, I live and play in New Orleans. I've got temptation around me. He was implying that he's got temptation around him all the time. So, you know, in some ways, you going to Vegas is like a lot of the sports people when they come to New Orleans. And, you know, you're here to do a job, and players are here to do their jobs, but there are temptations.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, there's definitely temptations. There's, you know, it's different. You know, it's something new. It's a different city. Obviously, you get the different food. We think our food is unmatched there, but we get to try theirs a little bit. And so it's the sights, it's the sounds. It's different. And so that's why there's a lot to do. And it's quote unquote Sin City and 24 hours. You know, it's always moving, always something going on. And what was interesting is last night, I guess at 12 midnight, they opened up or loosened some restrictions on bars. So the bars will be able to – they've opened up and people can go in. You know, I don't know the limits, et cetera, on them. But I do know that was one of the restrictions that was kind of loosened for some of those fans that they're expecting in town as well.
Deuce, the players are staying at the Wynn Hotel. Are you staying there as well?
No, sir. We're not at the Wynn. And even from that situation, I know Ms. Benson, as well as the team, they've went above and beyond to try to keep those players just because they're dealing with the virus. There is a limit of how many members can travel with the team. Normally, you know, you can take as many as you want as far as travel party is concerned, but the NFL has a limit as far as how many people can travel. And so normally we're with the team. We got bumped off, which, hey, look, it is what it is. So for us, you know, we had to kind of handle our own travel situation getting out here.
Right.
But we're staying separate from the team. And what's interesting is, you know, even there, normally, in this unique situation this year, the team has rented out just something similar like they did for training camp, the Lowe's Hotel. This year, well, this is the only game they did not rent out the full hotel at the Wynn. All the other games that they will go on this season, they will have the hotel to themselves. So something interesting. I mean, even then, though, there's still a testing situation for them. They have to test today, take a test as far as the coronavirus is concerned, COVID-19 is concerned. And obviously, you know, they'll have those results, but they've pretty much been in a bubble, even though they've been on the road.
Good. Well, it sounds like the NFL and the Saints are taking it very seriously and taking all the precautions they need to, all the precautions they can take. I mean, nothing's a total guarantee. Deuce, will you let us know when you go walk into Allegiant Stadium tonight, will you let us know if it has that new stadium smell, you know, like a new car smell? You're going to walk in there, it smells certain. Like a new stadium.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain it will. Our head engineer, Robert Carroll, is headed there in about 20 minutes. I was looking at the time. He's headed over in about 20 minutes to try to work out some of the bugs that we know will pop up just because it is new. You know, you can go through everything as many times as you want, but there's always something that happens and pops up. So he's going to go over and try to make sure that everything is good to go as best as possible. And, you know, we would definitely check it out. Like last week, we still don't have access to the field level. They're still keeping that kind of separate. So to even go down and, you know, look at the turf and feel some of that stuff, we don't have that access. And now we'll get as close as possible. But, you know, we're excited about checking it out. And, you know, from everything that we've heard, it's fine as can be.
Well, you know, Vegas knows how to build things and how to build things in a very luxurious manner. So I'm sure it's going to be one hell of a stadium. What was it like last week calling a game with no fans in the stands?
Very unique and very weird. It was one where you walk in, you look around, and there's personnel and staff there, but it's not obviously the full staff for the Superdome, but there is some personnel, so you get to say hello to a couple of people, but obviously there's no fans. And so, you know, it's normally like that some because we get there so early, so fans haven't been let in, and so normally around 2 hours they start letting people in, and you know, you go under that 2 hour mark and there's still no people there. And so
you hear
Mr. Romick on the loudspeaker talking, and so, you know, that's kind of normal, but there's no celebration, there's no jubilation or anything of that nature. And it's just like you literally hear calls, you literally hear the guys talking down there and, you know, making their checks and making their adjustments. And it's in a sense like a practice, but we know this practice counts in that manner.
You know, even watching these games without a real crowd noise there, we can hear the players. And I'll tell you, we can also, fans watching on TV can also hear the hits a lot better. I mean, sometimes you would hear a hit if it was close to like the sound guy, but the actual physical hits in a game and the clashing of helmets and bodies together is a lot louder now.
And none of those feel good, trust me, particularly if you're the person that's getting hit. That definitely does not feel good, but it just shows you, I guess it gives you a little more insight of, you know, what it's like to be there, to feel it, you know. And then you have to be able to get up, you knock on wood, you hope to get up and, you know, go on and try to play the next play.
Did the piped-in crowd noise help you at all in calling the game last week?
No. For us, it's so low that 70 decibels is nothing. It needs to be a little bit louder. I mean, at least take it up to 90. But, yeah, the 70 decibels that they had it at, that's not good.
Yeah. So the Saints will be playing without Michael Thomas tonight. But Michael Thomas he probably drew a lot of attention, so he was part of the game last week, but he didn't dominate the game last week. Any real concerns with Michael Thomas being out tonight?
There's always concerns. I mean, how will the other guys, their role, we know it will increase. How will they react to it? You know, can you get a guy, Emmanuel Sanders, who's still new in the offense? Will he be a little more comfortable? You know, can you lean on a guy, Traquan Smith, and the other guys, you know, maybe it's Callaway that will have his first action. He was inactive last week. So some of your veteran guys, you know that their role will be expanded. You also see how the Raiders try to cover now that they don't have to worry about Michael Thomas. Will more attention be given to Jared Cook, or, you know, will they try to their rookie corner really had a tough game last week. You know, will he be a little more comfortable because he won't have his normal guy as far as coverage is concerned that he's covering. So it changes the game plan, no doubt about it.
Well, it's a dreary Monday back in New Orleans, but the fact that the Saints are playing tonight, I think, really brightens up this day. And there's, even when the game's not here, when the Saints are on Monday Night Football, you just always have this attitude on a Monday, and this could not happen at a better time with the weather and the pandemic and everything that we've been dealing with. I'm just so looking forward to this game tonight.
Hopefully the 3 hours makes takes those worries away. It reminds you a little back in 2006 after we went through Katrina, and we know that our friends down in Lake Charles area are still hurting, and obviously the rain and weather coming in from Tropical Storm Beta, isn't helping at all. But out here it's 100 degrees. It's a dome stadium, so that won't be a factor for the players. But our goal is, and I know their goal, ultimate goal, is to bring a W back home.
I know it'd be great to start the season.
Since it is a night game, I know the team, they won't be traveling back tonight. Their plan is to stay here and get a good night's rest, because we know that you have a short week and another Sunday night game this upcoming week. So Sean wants to get them as far as much rest as possible as they start to preparation after tonight's game for the Green Bay Packers.
But that's rare, isn't it? I mean, even in situations like that, doesn't the team usually travel back?
We normally travel back, but since it is, it's right at probably, about a 3 hour, 3:30 as far as travel time back home.
Yeah.
He decided to, hey, look, that makes sense for me to get them in at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. We'll get a good night rest, and then we'll come in tomorrow.
Okay. Deuce, we look forward to you and Zach calling the game tonight. You'll start at 7:15 on the Saints Radio Network. And thank you for spending time with us. And have fun tonight, and we'll talk to you again soon.
No problem. Thank you for having me. You guys be safe.
Sure. All right. Deuce McAllister, who is part of the Saints broadcast team. Two pros in the booth together, Zach and Deuce McAllister. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this this game tonight. And I wonder how many were just adamant about boycotting the NFL, and they kind of decided, maybe it's really not that bad. Because in watching the games last week and then again yesterday, I don't see that the social justice campaign is any intrusion in the game at all. If you want to join us, the Mortgage Financial Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. From Metairie, Josh, you're on WWL.
Thank you for taking my call, Scoot.
Sure.
I have a question for you, and I just turned the radio on when you were talking about the phrases that are on the field for the NFL. I just want to hear your opinion on something. I do agree that there are injustices in this nation that we have, but I want to hear your opinion on the names on these helmets that we see from football players. I understand they are victims of certain police situations, but I'd like to hear your opinion on some of these people being convicted sex offenders and felons, and teams not even knowing the story behind them and putting them on their helmet. So, for instance, the Steelers, they put a person who was killed by Pittsburgh police in 2018 on the back of their helmets, and one of the captains of the team didn't do enough study on the situation and actually spoke to the Pittsburgh police officers and realized that it was a justified killing by the police officers. So an entire NFL team is supporting a man that was putting police officers' lives in danger. I just want to hear your opinion on these athletes not being educated enough on the situation and putting these names on the back of their helmets when they don't even know the situation. I'd like to hear your opinion on that compared to, 22 police officers being killed in the past 2 months because of these riots, yet we're talking about a convicted sex offender who, tried to stab somebody that was killed by police officers, and they're being held as heroes by these players.
Okay, well, you've made your point very clear. I think the NFL makes a mistake in just allowing anybody's name to be put on a helmet, because some people are victims and they didn't deserve to die in certain situations. They may have had a record, but they didn't deserve to die. But they're certainly not heroes. So I think in some ways the NFL has been obsequious with that move. And yes, players and coaches, they should know something about the people that they have that they're honoring. I haven't seen many names. I really haven't. I mainly see Black Lives Matter and It Takes All of Us and things like that. Josh, glad you had a chance to express your opinion. Look, some of the victims who are actually victims, though, they still, even though they had a tainted past, even though they have a criminal record, The law does not allow them to be shot and killed or to be choked to death. And this is the, I don't want to get into this afternoon, but, you know, this is the part, again, people are using this to fit their agenda. Nobody says cops should be killed. And anybody who does, the hell with them. They don't even, I mean, if that's your opinion, you don't even count. But this idea that if we recognize that somebody should not have been killed by police, we're anti-police. That is the maddening aspect of the world in which we live. And it's simply not true. There is nothing in police protocol or police training that allows suspects to be shot if they resist arrest under all circumstances. Now, don't get mad at me. I didn't make those police handbooks. I didn't create those rules. I know things happen. President Trump says sometimes police officers just like freak out or they choke. I mean, I guess that's a rather pedestrian way to say it. I don't know if I would have put it that way, because it's a little more serious than just choking. But, you know, again, here was a guy who just could not wait to call in and make his point, which is fine. I mean, that's what this show's about. That's what the Constitution is about. He was able to make his point. But just because the NFL is doing this, well, it doesn't mean that I agree with every aspect of what they're doing, and you don't have to agree with every aspect either. But the question is, do you find the social justice campaign so intrusive that you're not watching the games? I've watched the games. And to be honest with you, I don't know what you're complaining about, because it doesn't seem to be intrusive or interruptive of the games at all. If you want to join us this afternoon, the Mortgage Financial Talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. And since the Saints are playing in Vegas, we're picking some bumper music. We've got some Saints bumper music, but we're also selecting some bumper music from two movies about Vegas, Vegas Vacation and Swingers, which no, it's not about that kind of swingers. It's about a guy who's trying to get over a girl, and his friends are helping him try to get over a girl, and he's just distraught over the breakup of his girlfriend, and he moved to L.A. to try to get, a comedy gig. Anyway, I love the movie Swingers, but it's not about that. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. John Bon Jovi is participating in the two-hour intercom special, I'm Listening. That's going to be Wednesday night here on WWL, AMFM, and radio.com. Wednesday, September 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. The spotlight is on ending the stigma of talking about mental health. And we're using the power of talk to save lives. This year, I'm Listening will feature John Bon Jovi, Guns N' Roses, Luke Combs, DJ Khalid, Katy Perry, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, TLC, and Demi Lovato. Also some doctors as well, and some professional sports athletes. With COVID-19 and hurricanes and racial and economic issues, the focus on mental health is so needed right now. And maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's for one of your kids, or maybe it's for somebody in your family or a friend that you know is having trouble. You'll gain something for listening to the show, I'm Listening, a two-hour special from Entercom, Wednesday night, September 23rd, from 6 to 8 p.m. I wrote a blog on our website. It's at WWL.com. It's titled, Why the Saints-Raiders Monday Night Football Game is So Important. And especially on this dreary Monday, I talk about how important this is. If you would like to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Mortgage Financial Talk and text line is 504-260-1870. From New Orleans East, Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scoot. Good afternoon, and thank you for receiving my call. I want to make two points, one with regards to social justice and the other with regards to football tonight. The first comment about social justice is this, that there are some in America who are bothered by the fact that the Black Lives Movement has gained some traction and is getting some attention from a lot of different circles, the NFL, the NBA. And when I watch an NBA game, I'm watching the game. when I watch an NFL game, I'm watching the game. But I think that there are too many folks who want to look at the messages on shoes, the messages on jerseys, and that interferes with them actually watching the game. And it's because, or it could be, I'm not sure, it could be that they think that athletes are just athletes and don't have a voice about matters in life, or they think that they're supposed to be silent when it comes to issues that surface in America and the world. My athletic comment with regards to tonight's game is that it's going to be interesting to see if Drew Brees can trust some other receivers. Because if you go back a few months ago when the Minnesota Vikings played the New Orleans Saints in that playoff game, the Vikings shut down Michael Thomas because of their defense, and he just couldn't go to anyone else. And I don't know if it was because he didn't trust anybody else. So tonight's game will really be a great barometer as to see whether or not he can trust the other wide out, whether or not he can trust Cook, and whether or not Alvin Kamara gets the ball more. So those are my comments, and hopefully you'll be able to react.
All right, Jim. I appreciate the call. Did you want to hang on, or do you want to just listen?
No, I'll listen.
Okay, I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling, Jim. You know, I think Brees trusts Kamara and trusts other receivers, Traquan Smith. I think he's learned to trust Jared Cook a lot. I think he's learning to trust Emmanuel Sanders. So I think, especially coming off an average game last week, I'm looking for Drew Brees to have a really good game tonight. And so I don't see the loss of Michael Thomas being a factor in winning or losing, as great as Michael Thomas is. So I'm looking for a great game. I think Drew Brees is going to really come back and have a great game after having an average game last week. When it comes to your comments about people being bothered by Black Lives Matter, you're right. It's true. People are bothered by Black Lives Matter. And I don't know why, because it doesn't affect my life in a negative way at all. If there's a campaign, Black Lives Matter, you know, whether you agree with the necessity of it or not, it really doesn't affect your life. But that also feeds into what you're talking about when it comes to people looking at the messages and not watching the game. I've watched games last weekend and again this weekend, and I'll watch again tonight. I don't see any intrusion in the game. And I'm sure that there are some people who are upset that the NFL's social justice campaign has not been more intrusive, because that would give them more ammunition to criticize. I also think that there's this built-in jealousy of professional athletes. A lot of people wish they were there, and they think they're all spoiled brats. I heard Mike Dettillier talking to Tommy Tucker this morning, and Mike was talking about how brutal the game is. And he's right. And I was just talking to Deuce about how you and I can hear more of the hits than ever before. Bodies clashing together, helmets crashing together. That is a rough game. I mean, I don't know how they get up after any given play. So they get paid because they entertain us, and entertainers get paid. I'm not saying it's fair that entertainers make more than first responders and teachers, but that's the way our society is. It may not be fair, but that's a reality. But I do think that there are a lot of people bothered by Black Lives Matter. Also, I heard Mike Dettillier say something this morning about if the Saints run the ball a certain number of times, they win the game, or 79% of the time they win the game. That doesn't mean that if Coach Payton has a game plan and he's got 35 running plays planned, that doesn't mean the Saints are going to win. It means that when the Saints run the ball 35 times, it means they're successful at running the ball. And that has taken pressure off the passing game. It also helps them control the clock. So it's not as simple as, well, all they have to do is call 35 running plays. No, the running game has to be working. And if the running game is working, then they're going to call 35 running plays. If it's not working, they're not going to do that. So the key is not the number of running plays. The key is, are the running plays working? All right, if you're on hold, hang on. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Mortgage Financial Talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, we're selecting some bumper music from two Vegas movies, Vegas Vacation and Swingers. And this was the scene in Swingers when they left the diner, and I think this was kind of a mock of Reservoir Dogs, a scene from Reservoir Dogs where they're in slow motion walking to their cars to go to that party in the Hollywood Hills or wherever, where that girl Deidre. Well, you know, my mom, I was always dramatic, and my mom was telling me I needed to be an actress. And I mean, Swingers is such a satire on Hollywood. Love it. I'm Scoot. Saints are in Vegas tonight. We'll be right back on WWL. Remember when Clark Griswold's wife gets on stage with Wayne Newton and she's singing this song? Helen Griswold and Wayne Newton, they kind of had a thing for each other for a while. Then Wayne Newton got a little creepy. Here it comes. I'm telling you, man, garage doors are opening around the city right now. What a note. So we're selecting songs from some Vegas movies, Vegas Vacation and Swingers, because the Saints are in Vegas tonight against the Raiders. I'm Scoot, and from City Park Avenue, Carol, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Scoot.
How are you?
My comment is simply, I'm fine for now, but it's the idea athletes are human beings. They have beating hearts. They have skin and bones. They deserve to be respected. Whatever message they have on their sleeve, whether it's the pink little ribbon for breast cancer or their own because they know people that have been, maybe they themselves have been stopped by police because the police are jealous of the car they're driving. You know, these are human beings and they deserve to be respected. And whatever message they want to carry on their sleeves, that's so be it. Remember Muhammad Ali? Everybody criticized him when he was young and the Vietnam War was happening. And then when he became an old man, all of a sudden he's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
So I respect people for who they are. And once it becomes a common thing, people who are who are humane and who have humanity in their heart and soul are never offended when a person asks that you respect them. Because respect is a two-way street. Just because you're sitting in the stands or you're watching them on TV doesn't give you a right to criticize what they feel that is important. Of course, they're athletes. They're getting paid well because they're out there fighting like barbarians and gladiators. And I enjoy the last quarter of the Saints game because that's when all the important things happen. And because we have such limited entertainment right now that's live, might as well, you know, watch the whole game. But respect these people. I enjoy when a whole team is taking a knee. To me, taking a knee during a football game or during whatever, the national anthem, I think it's a sign of respect. They're not holding their fist in the air. They're taking
Carol,
a knee. You take a knee, you go to church.
I have to leave it there. I appreciate your call. I know a lot of people are going to disagree with you. We'll talk more about this. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think the players should be able to have any message. I mean, there should be some uniformity in the NFL. And I don't mind the social – in fact, I'm for the social justice campaign. It doesn't bother me at all. And I don't know why it would cause anybody to not watch the game. All right. If you're on hold, hang on. You got a comment this afternoon. We're going to continue to talk about the Saints. We're not going to talk about political hypocrisy, and there's much of that to talk about, but we're not going to get into that today. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We will be right back on this Monday afternoon on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.